Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, today's the day we're going to begin to discuss 13 Hours, the inside account of what really happened in Benghazi. I thought what we'd do is, to start out this program, is maybe just take a little bit of an overview of the book. And I think it's really important to do that. It's a very well-written book. It's a very well-documented book. And so you can be assured that you are reading factual information. Now, if we just give a simple overview, the thing that we need to understand, what the book is really about, it's really concentrating on the last 13 hours of an American diplomatic outpost in probably one of the most dangerous corners of the globe. And of course, that was Benghazi, Libya. And there are a lot of factual things that we will bring out in our panel discussions on this, and so, or I should say maybe on this book. But it is really quite unbelievable of some of the events that happened there. And, of course, what's even more unbelievable, it was the response here from the United States. But one thing you need to know about the book, again, it is so important that you understand that this is really a pretty factual account. But it's not just a factual account from, let's say, reading magazines or reading what happened in the newspapers. It's what makes this book so special. It really is the firsthand account of what took place at, and I'll just give you the official title of the place. It's the first-hand accounts of what actually took place at the U.S. State Department Special Mission Compound. Now, it was at this compound that J. Chris Stevens, our ambassador to Benghazi, Libya, was living. And, of course, he had just moved there just weeks before. And so it was a special mission compound. It wasn't necessarily an embassy, where it was really well staffed. This was just the very beginning, and he was there to help bring democracy to the Libyans in Benghazi, and so it really was, let's say, the very beginning of an operation, and he was a really well qualified ambassador. He had a lot of time in the diplomatic service, and unfortunately, he was killed within these 13 hours. Now, it's also the book has a deal with the nearby CIA base, and it was called the Annex. Now, if you know anything about the CIA, they really don't like to identify where they are in the world. And so basically it was called the Annex. So in other words, when they were in Benghazi or were they in the city of Benghazi, you know, there wasn't this big sign that said CIA base. That just didn't happen. But they did call it the Annex. And so, but they were very close. They were actually within this CIA base, or the Annex, was really within 10 minutes walk of this compound. And of course, there were CIA agents there, and they were always, these agents were always trying to get, information from the locals on what was really happening, you know, in Libya and in Benghazi. So this is really pretty standard practice for intelligence gathering, and it's all countries do this. But you can understand why the CIA would want to keep these personnel kind of nameless and not draw a lot of attention to the fact that they are intelligence agents. Now, of course, we should understand that the time setting of the book is the night of September 11th, 2012. Now, remember, this was the anniversary of that very famous 9/11 event that happened in this country, where over 3,000 Americans were murdered by Islamic terrorists. And so So it was really a kind of a disturbing event that happened on this day, but that was September 11th, 2012. And also the battle at Benghazi, and I think it should be called that, by the way. It really was a battle. It was a battle to save American lives. It was a battle to save an American ambassador. It was a battle, really, to help provide freedom for the people of Libya. And we really should not forget that. But also included in this is the events that continued to happen, after midnight and through the next morning of September 12, 2012. So, but it really, the rough period is about 13 hours. And so it really is quite interesting that way. Now, one of the things that I think is so unique about this book, and maybe there are other books like it, but we do have some really special sources here. And the primary sources for the information in this book come from the five surviving American Security Force contractors. Now, they were also known as operators. And these are the men who responded to the surprise attack on the Benghazi diplomatic compound. So what you have in here, or in this book, is you have their firsthand accounts by these top soldiers in the American military. Now, of course, they're contractors, and that means they're officially out of the service. They were actually working as contractors for this Global Response Staff, or GRS. And so they did respond to this attack. And when you look at the book, you're getting conversations, you're getting information that these men had. And these are not dummies. These are not, just run-of-the-mill soldiers. These are top soldiers. They're Navy SEALs. These are men that were trained to how to deal with the war situations in the deserts of the Middle East, and so they're really highly trained people, highly intelligent people, very successful people, and so we can rely on what they have to say. These five security contractors, they spearheaded this counterattack, and they carried out the rescue of the State Department personnel and the residents in the CIA annex as well. And so if you look at this whole situation, it was really there are actually six of them there, and of course one of them died, and we'll talk about that later. But they weren't the only six military people there. There were also other agents that were there to protect the ambassador, and there were other agents there that were there to protect even the CIA personnel, or even the intelligence personnel, when they would go out, let's say, into Benghazi and interview people to collect information, they usually had some type of a security team with them. Now, they may be hidden, or they may have been in a car within a short distance away from them, but they were still there to protect American lives. So it is really quite interesting, what we have in this book. Now, again, the book is written by Mitchell Zuckoff. I'm going to talk to you about him in just a minute. But he does give, I think, some very important quotes at the opening of the book that we need to focus on. And again, here we've just been through the election, and we now have a new president, which is President Donald Trump, and we're not going to make any comments about that politically, but I think most Americans feel that maybe people weren't necessarily voting so much for Trump as they were voting against, let's say maybe this family that had been in politics, or this elite family, or maybe this, one of the elite, political you know, it's like royalty of this country. And the whole vote may have been more of what you don't want, not what you want. And so, again, it's not my job to be political, but we know that we've been lied to. We know, or most Americans know that we've been lied to. And, you know, even as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Trump's best win was against the media. I mean, that's really who he trumped. No pun intended there. But he really did trump the media because I have to admit personally, I mean, I am a writer. I do work in trying to write truth and speak truth. And, you just know that the media were totally distorting everything. And, of course, the pollsters are probably the most embarrassed. And they really should be because they were not saying it right. And I think America is now catching on to that, or hopefully we're catching on to that. But here's Zukav tells us in the very preface to the book, he assures us of the veracity of the book, and that's really important. And this is on page X, or italicized page 10, but it's always done with an X. He says about the book, he says, although written as a narrative, this is a work of nonfiction. No scenes or chronologies were altered, no dramatic license was taken, and no characters were invented or created from composites. Descriptions from before, during, and immediately after the battle came from the men who were there, from verified accounts or both. All dialogue was spoken or heard firsthand by primary sources. Thoughts ascribed to individuals came directly from these individuals. And so the main sources of this book are these five surviving Americans. And so it is really interesting. Now, he also talks about his secondary sources in the book. And, it's also quite interesting. This is on page 11, or italicized 11, or X1, or XI, I guess I should say. And again, this is in the middle of the page if you want to follow along. And essentially what Zukav is trying to tell us is these men are trying to be very transparent with us and tell us what they knew and what they just saw and experienced firsthand. And I don't think many Americans believe that, well, our leaders have been that transparent with us lately, or let's say maybe the last 8 years. And we'll see. It looks like that part of our government might be over, but we'll have to see. Now, what he says here is secondary sources include additional interviews, photos and videos, the voluminous record of public documents, congressional reports and testimony, and media reports. He says those sources credited where appropriate in the text and cited in the select bibliography were used to provide context, fill gaps during periods when the primary sources weren't present, and to confirm or elaborate upon the participants' recollections. Further discussions of sources can be found at the end of the book, especially in a note on the sources on page 305. So essentially what I'm wanting to say, listeners, is when we really get into discussing this book, is we are looking at facts, and facts that have been proven. Now, I think I've talked very early on when we began this program, Just the Best Literature. One of the ways that you can tell, if a book is really, let's say, a well-published book or a well-written book, and I always do this before I buy a book, I not only just kind of do a quick read, like of the cover and maybe of some of the information in the back, but I always flip through the book, and I look to see if there's a contents page, if there's a title page. But then I always flip to the back of the book, and I always look for a bibliography, or I look for an index, or I look for notes of the chapters. And if you have a book that has those kind of items in it, then you're getting a pretty well-written book that you can actually go and yourself, you can check these sources. You can find what, this Mitchell Zukav did in terms of research. You can find that. He does have, and now he calls it a select bibliography, so he doesn't give you every source, but he gives you the most important sources, and he also then gives you an index. I think I've mentioned before that I did go to Library and Information Science School. I have my master's in that. And my concentration was in bibliography. And so I was trained how to write bibliographies or annotated bibliographies for, you know, the research scientists and research, let's say, researchers in any of the fields at a university. So I was trained to help them not only find their sources, but then also to be able to write an annotated bibliography to support their research. And so that's essentially what he has in this book. So you can be, you know, somewhat sure that you're not wasting your time by reading this book and you're not getting a lot of wrong information. You're getting very good information. Now, I also thought just for maybe a second, we would talk about the author. And even when we do, you know, teach here at Herbert W. Armstrong College, I always encourage my students to learn something about the author. And you want to make sure that you're reading from, experienced writers. And, you know, Mitchell Zuckoff is one of those. He is a professor of journalism at Boston University. Now, Boston University is a very qualified university. It's a very good university. And he has written more than just, 13 hours. He's written other books as well. But we could look a little bit at his education. Zuckoff did receive a master's degree from the University of Missouri, and he is currently the Redstone Journalism Professor at Boston University. So he's not a slacker, or he's not just out there, you know, writing just to make a name for himself. He does live in Massachusetts, and he is married and has two daughters. So he is a family man. So you can see that when he writes this book, he does write it with a lot of feeling, a lot of passion, a lot of concern. Now, he has written some other books, and if you get online, you can find his own Twitter page. You can find information about him. Even if you get on Amazon, they'll show you, you know, some of the other books that he has written. But I want you to know that Zuckoff does write. He does write for magazines. He's written, for example, The New Yorker. He's written for Fortune. He's also written for the Boston Globe. And so these are not, just fly by night publications. And if you've ever been, you know, a writer, and you've really tried to get into these magazines, it's not hard. It's not easy to get into some of these top magazines like that. Now, it's interesting. He has won awards for his writing, and when he was a reporter at the Globe, he was a Pulitzer Prize finalist for investigative reporting. So you can be sure that Zuckoff knows how to investigate. And I'm sure, you know, every writer has a team. I know I have, you know, several assistants that help me even when I write. And so it is, very important. I also have, you know, an assistant that helps me prepare these radio programs as well. So to be a Pulitzer Prize finalist, is really, I think that even in itself is laudatory. But he has received the Distinguished Writing Award from the American Society of Newspaper Editors. He did receive the Livingston Award for International Reporting. And he did receive the Haywood Brown Award and the Associated Press Managing Editors Public Service Award. And so we could really say he is definitely an award-winning writer. And so what we're getting here is not bad stuff. It's really actually pretty good stuff. And so we can pretty much depend on that. Now, one of the other things that, you know, you've heard me talk about Shakespeare, and you heard me talk about how to understand Shakespeare plays, and I've talked about making sure that you get into the cast of characters and you understand a little bit about them so that you can really get into the meat of the book. And, you know, it's really interesting, and I was really kind of pleased by that. If you look at Zuckoff's book, that's exactly what he does in the very beginning of the book. He gives you what he calls a cast of characters. And so it is really quite interesting, and it is good for you. And, you know, don't skip that. Spend some time with that. And because I think the whole account here will become alive for you when you realize these were men. These are real people. These are real people with wives and children and families, and the sacrifices that they went through, to actually try and save the ambassador, to actually try and save the staff there. Now, certainly they were paid contractors, and they did pretty well. You know, they could make upwards $150,000 a year. But I thought we'd just spend a little bit of time, and let's just go through this cast of characters. And you can follow along, and you can do this if we don't get totally through all this today. You can continue yourself. But the first group of people that he discusses are this annex security team. And he does go, I think he actually goes down through the pretty much, he does go alphabetically. So one of the first members of this annex security team, his name is Dave Benton, and he goes by the nickname DB. So I've never met this man. I've often thought of trying to get some of them to come on the radio, and I just have not had time to research that out to see if we could even do it. But who knows? Maybe we could later. But this, at the time of Benghazi, he was 38 years old. He was a Marine sergeant. He was a SWAT team officer. He also was a scout sniper whose specialties included hostage rescue. He did direct action assaults. He was a surveillance man. He was on reconnaissance, and he was up to trained in close quarters battles. So before Benghazi, it says he had been honored for contract security work in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. Now, supposedly, he's a very reserved person. But I think the thing I like about him most, and I've never, ever met him, but I just wanted you to know that he was actually from Pennsylvania. And the reason why that's important to me is I'm also from Pennsylvania. So it's always good to be around Pennsylvania boys have a Pennsylvanian on your team. Okay, the next in the cast of character is Mark Geist, or his nickname was Oz. And again, remember, these are paid contractors, so he's 46, and he was the oldest member of the team. Now, as Zuckoff tells us, he was kind of laid back, but he did spend 12 years in the Marine Corps. He did work in an intelligence unit, and then he became the chief of police in the Colorado town where he grew up. And so, he's been around police work. He's been around the military. He also ran his own private investigation company. So he's pretty much stayed in the area of security in the military. And, of course, he did become then a security contractor to the State Department. So the thing is he was married. Of course, he was married twice. He has a son, a teenage stepdaughter, and he had an infant daughter with his second wife. So these are, all of them are family men. Now, the next one there is Chris Peronto. And, of course, his nickname was Tonto. And they do show a full picture of him here in the book. And, one of his best friends, I guess, this Chris Peronto, his best friend was DB, or this Dave Benton. And now remember, Dave Benton didn't talk very much, but I guess this Chris Peronto, or as they called him, Tonto, he'd like to talk a lot. So maybe the two of them were a great team together. So anyway, again, he was in the Army's 75th Ranger Regiment. And, of course, when he showed up in Benghazi, he was 41. And so, but he, again, was, a paid contract security operator. Then there's Jack Silva. Now, Jack Silva is a former Navy SEAL. And, he did spend a lot of time in the service. He was in Kosovo. He was in the Middle East. But he is a Navy SEAL. And when he got to Benghazi for this trip, he found out that his wife was pregnant. So when Jack got there, he was 38. And so, if you're going to be in a situation like Benghazi, he just seems to me like he's like one of the men you want to have right with you. Okay, there's another one, John Teague, and his name, or that was his nickname, Teague. His last name is Teagan. Now, he's 36, and again, he's a former Marine sergeant. He was also from Colorado, he was a security contractor for Blackwater. I think we've all heard about Blackwater, and we're not going to get into that. That's a whole different subject. But he did work in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq, and so he's been around the Middle East. And this trip to Benghazi was his third trip there, and so he was considered the most experienced of them. And of course, one of the last contractors there was Tyrone Woods. Now, he was 41. He was a former Navy SEAL. One of the sad things, he was one of the ones that was actually killed at Benghazi. Well, it looks like we're out of time for this program. So next time, what we'll do is we'll continue with this cast of characters. And then I want to give you a short outline of the chapters in the book. In other words, we'll just get the overview of the book. And then after that program, then we will begin our panel discussion of 13 Hours in Benghazi and the inside account of what really happened in Benghazi. And so please write me if you have any comments. And I love comments, so please write. And you can write me at jbl@pcog.org. You can follow JBL on Twitter at JB Literature 1, and you can also follow me on Facebook. So until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.